we're in Acts chapter number 3, recognizing this morning as we come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that while the world around us is changing rapidly, the best news never changes. Amen. And that's what we started this whole series off, was with the reality that Jesus saves. I'm reminded as well that while we consider that this uncertain world, we are uncertain what all is going on in this world, that this world is headed for a certain end. And that is that Jesus is coming again. And I may the church echo the heart of the Apostle John as he rounded out the book of Revelation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And that's what we're talking about again this morning. Back talking about essential Christianity. And if you're visiting with us today, what we're doing is we're, in essence, studying our way through the book of Acts to clarify that which defines us and directs us as Christians, as a church in every age. As we looked over Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, we saw the church entrusted with the message of the gospel. We saw the church empowered by the Spirit. We saw the church edifying one another in grace. Now today in Acts chapter 3, we're going to begin to see the church engaged. In Acts chapter 3, we find the first recorded miracle of healing by the church. As Peter and John encounter a man who had been lame from birth, he couldn't walk. He lived a life that was totally dependent upon others, largely helpless and hopeless, yet that day, Jesus healed that man. Now, in a way, let's understand before we get started this morning that this man, lame from birth, is really a picture of all mankind. That the reality is, just as he was born with that problem, all of mankind is born helpless and born hopeless with the problem of sin. Come on, church, is that true this morning? No one had to teach us how to do wrong. Nobody had to teach us how to be selfish. Some of you are still trying to recover from all that toilet paper hoarding you did 7 months ago. Nobody had to teach us how to be selfish. We were born helpless and hopeless of our own right in sin. And ultimately, what we see in Acts chapter 3 as the miracle of restoration here is also a picture of the miracle of regeneration. That when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we turn to Him, the Bible says that He saves us, that He makes us whole, that we are born again, and that He removes our sin and shame and replaces it with His righteousness. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to admonish you from the outset. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that your sin is forgiven, you don't know for sure that you've been born again into the family of God, you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, if you're here this morning and you're not sure, I'm going to tell you in just a little bit, you're going to have that opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But this morning, as we look at this text, I want us, for a few minutes, to place our focus on a church which had just emerged onto the scene, a church that wasn't long established, a church who wasn't overly wealthy or influential, but a church who didn't allow for any excuses and wasted no time engaging and impacting the society around it. Church, we are here to make an impact. We are here to make an impact for the cause of Jesus Christ. We are here to make a difference for His name's sake. I think far too long many have cared more about what people might say than whether people are actually saved. Can I tell you, church, we are not here to impress this world. We are here to impact this world for Jesus. And this morning from Acts chapter 3, I want us to see three areas, three means by which the Lord Jesus Christ gives us to make a difference in this world for Him. Look with me at verse 1 and 2. The Bible says this: "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered therein." I want you to notice this morning as we begin to look that there was nothing unusual about this day. Peter and John were going to the temple to pray about the ninth hour because that's what they did. When it was time to pray, they went and prayed. This man here who was laid at this gate Beautiful, he was laid there begging and asking alms because that's what he did. The Bible says that he had friends or companions who every day would carry him and lay him at that gate that he might ask alms. When we come to Acts chapter 3, we really see a fairly normal, nondescript scene beginning to play out. There was no tongues of fire in Acts chapter 3. There was no great miracle of the speaking in tongues. There was no bright lights or bright sounds. There was no smoke or sound effects. I'm going to tell you, there was no grand or great prayer meeting that the Bible references before we get here. No, it was 3 o'clock, so Peter and John were going to pray because that's what they did. No, it was another day. So the lame man was going to beg. He was laid at that gate because that was what he did. There was nothing special here. What we see here in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, what was real, normal, ordinary life for these people. This was every day. Yet on this day, the Bible says, the paths of Peter and John and this lame man crossed like they had never crossed before. Can I point out this morning as we get started that one of the ways that God gives us to impact our world for the cause of Jesus Christ is through our daily routine. So often we think that if we're going to impact the world for Christ, well, there has to be some grand, overwhelming experience at the altar, and then maybe God would lead us to go halfway across the world like a missionary, or maybe, just maybe, there's going to be this incredible string of chain of events that just bring us together with certain people at a certain... No, I think one of the greatest ways God gives us to make an impact in our society for Him is just through our daily routine, through everyday real life. Stop for a minute and think about the number of people you come into contact with on a daily basis. Stop and think about the people you work with on a daily basis. Stop and think about the people who you interact with around the neighborhood on a daily basis. Stop and think about the people that you interact with even in this church on a regular basis. Just stop and think about all the opportunities God gives you to impact others every single day. You know, I wonder, church, I wonder how many people had stepped over this lame man over the years. I wonder how many people had stepped around this man in order to get, hear me now, to what they considered was a more important engagement. I mean, think about it. This man was laid at the gate of the temple. So the people who were heading that way, where were they going? They were going to church. I mean, church is important, isn't it? I think it's fairly important. Church is pretty important. And these people, they're on their way to church. They have something important they're going to do. They're going to go and worship Almighty God. Hey, that's pretty important, isn't it, church? And yet I wonder how many people on their way to something they deemed more important failed to recognize the extraordinary opportunity right in front of them. I wonder how many people never saw this man, never saw his hurt, never saw his need, because he was always there. You know, church, it made me think. Church, how many of us, figuratively, step over people, step around people, in order to get to what we consider a more important appointment. Never considering the divine appointments that we experience every single day. You recognize that the people you talked to this morning, some of you shook hands, some of you fist bumped, some of you elbow bumped, some of you just looked, some were nice looks, some were mean looks. I get it this morning. But we interacted with people this morning, right? You realize you interacted with people who were hurting and needy this morning. You realize that when you leave here, some of you are going to go to a restaurant, that the people you interact with at the restaurant, many of them, I know they're waiters and waitresses and cooks and servers, and I know they're checkout men and women, and I know they're all of that, and I know that you're there to eat lunch or you're there to get something and get home, but hey, that's a soul. That's a soul that God has given you the opportunity to interact with, to impact with that day. How many people do we look past? How many people do we look over because we think we're headed to a more important engagement? The reality is this, how many of us can honestly say, you know what, when we're on the move, sometimes we spend more time trying to not make eye contact than to make eye contact. Let's be honest, he knows, he already knows. May we never look past people. Church, if we are truly here to impact people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, may we never look past people. May this church be marked by the description of Jude 22, where the Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. One of my favorite stories of Jesus in the Gospels is Jesus and blind Bartimaeus. And if you'll recall the story, we'll look at it here in Mark chapter 10 in just a minute. But Jesus here is making his way through, and Jesus has got a place to go. Jesus, I mean, if anybody had a place to go, people to see, things to do, it was Jesus Christ. But I want you to see what Jesus did here. Mark chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 46, the Bible says this, and when they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. What are you doing? Don't make a scene. That's Jesus. Now's not the time. Now's not the place. Hey, he's got somewhere he's going. Shh, hush, blind Bartimaeus, you be quiet. Many charged him, the Bible said, that he should hold his peace. That's a nice way of saying shut his mouth. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse number 49, look at this. Say these first four words with me together. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ leads us to the example that there are people all around us who are hurting and who are dying, who need help, who need compassion. And the reality is, our daily routine, God grants us the privilege to interact with multitudes of people we could help in Jesus' name. Jesus stood still. I tell you, it would do the Church of Jesus Christ a great deal of good to learn to stand still and to see the hurting. It would do us a great deal of good to learn to stand still and to hear the hurting. It would do the Church of Jesus Christ a great deal of good to learn to stand still and to feel hurting. How many times does the Bible say of Jesus that he was moved with compassion? When is the last time that we have legitimately been moved with compassion? You know, one of the great ways Jesus gives us to make a difference for him, to make an impact for him, is through our daily routine. And church, let me encourage you. This lame man here in Acts chapter 3, he didn't really want what he was about to get, did he? He wasn't asking for the Lord in Acts chapter 3, was he? He wasn't asking for the Lord. He was asking for lunch. His motives weren't even all right. He was like, hey, just give me lunch, fellas. Just give me some alms. Give me some food. Give me some money. Let me survive another day. But it just may be God's desires to use you in spite of what they came for. How many of us have seen time and time again God use things and God use situations and people to reach others? I can think of as a youth pastor, I have seen God use things like sports and basketball to reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ, to open doors to help hurting people. I have seen one of those video testimonies. The guy said that he came for her, but he left with him. Hey, that motive wasn't right. But how many of us know that God's bigger than that motive? I can remember my first ever missions trip down to Honduras, and I was in college. I was leaving, and when I was as I was at the airport there, and I was preparing to fly back, I met a gentleman who, whether or not he had police protection to leave the country or a police escort to force him out of the country, I'm not sure which. Okay, I definitely have my suspicions. But wouldn't you know it, guess who he got to sit next to on the plane? And yet in that 3-hour flight, I saw God use the things that that man had done and been through over the last week and a half to open his heart to the gospel, to the place where he said, you know, he said, maybe one day you'll go back to church and your preacher will say something that might be helpful to me. Could I give you my number that you could let me know if you ever hear something like that? I said, well, I could give you the number, but if you got a minute, and I know you do, because according to Delta, we're stuck together for the next 3.5 hours. I said, I can share something right now with you. How many of us know that God can use these things in our daily routines to impact people for the cause of Jesus Christ? Church, wake up. There are people all around you who are hurting, who are hopeless, who are helpless, and we have the opportunity to impact them every single day through daily routine. I want you to look at another way that God allows us to impact people. Pick back up in verse number 3. This is great. The Bible says, speaking of the lame man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, what John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But that was disappointing to the man. Oh. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, the Bible says, his feet and ankle bones received strength. How does God allow us to make an impact for him? Number one, through our daily routine. Number two, through dynamic resources. Now, think with me. What did the lame man ask for? It's not a hard question. He asked for what? Money. Alms is that biblical way of saying charitable giving. He wanted a handout. He couldn't work. This is how God had provided for him to be able to survive another day. So the lame man asked alms, charity, money of Peter and John. Peter and John didn't have any. Now, how many of us recognize that interaction could have ended right there? Do you have any money? Well, he wasn't walking around, but do you have any money? No, we don't have anything. And you pass by, and that's all there is. You know what I find sometimes? And I find this with myself. I find this with people I minister with and to. I find that so often, many Christians cannot get beyond what they don't have. Well, they can't get beyond the fact that they don't have $1 million to give to Faith Promise. They can't get beyond the fact that they don't have that speaking ability of oratory. They can't get beyond the fact that they don't feel like they have a good enough understanding of the Scriptures. They can't get beyond the fact that they don't have the training. They can't get beyond the fact that they don't have a certain ability. They can't get beyond what they don't have, and therefore they do nothing. They do nothing. This morning, I think we need to start by realizing that we all not only feel inadequate, we all are inadequate in and of ourselves. You know, if nothing else is proven to this, as you think about the tragedies that have occurred over the last month, how many times have we just stood there realizing that there are no words? There are no words that can be said. There is no magic thing that can be done, that we in of ourselves have very little way to substantially respond to the tragedy. We all feel inadequate. But church, what I love here about Peter and John is that they didn't allow the fact that they didn't have silver and gold. They didn't allow the fact that they didn't have money stop them from impacting this man for Jesus Christ. I tell you, we as the church, it is time that we recognize again the gloriously incalculable value of the message that we have been given to share with the world. Now, church, are we called to be generous people? Yes or no? The answer is yes. In fact, believe it or not, that's where we are in the Sermon on the Mount. Tonight we'll talk about genuine generosity. And so we'll see how generous our hearts are by how many of you come back now that you know that, right? Evil preacher trick. So are we called to be generous? Yes or no? Absolutely we're called to be generous. But money doesn't save people. It doesn't. Are we called to care as Christians for the physically sick, for the hurting, for the dying? Are we called to care for people? Yes. But to realize this morning as a church that dying with COVID, for instance, is not nearly as scary as dying without Christ. Church of the Gospel, hear me. The Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16, Paul put it this way. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite, the dynamic power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It is the power of God. You go over, and we'll look at this later, so I don't want to get too much into it. You look over at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is a beautiful picture of the power of God. First, you see Paul, and as he heads towards Philippi, he meets a lady there by the riverside, a lady who is a God-fearer, whose heart was ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that ready heart, for that ready heart, the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. It was. But then they moved in the city. You remember who they met when they moved into the city? They found that demon-possessed girl. A demon-possessed girl who was being used by those evil men. What did we find for that ravaged heart, for that sin-ravaged heart? You know what we found? That the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You go a little farther in Acts chapter 16. You'll remember the people didn't like very much that Paul and them had cast out the demon and the girl had gotten saved. They didn't like that very much. So what'd they do? Put him in jail. You come to the end of Acts chapter 16, to that Roman jailer in that Philippian prison. And what do you find when those gates swung open and the earth shook? What did you find for that? The hardened heart of the prison keeper, that rock hard heart of that soldier, that man who'd seen so much and dealt with so many evil people. What did you find for that rock solid heart? Well, you found the same thing that you did for the ready heart. You found the same thing that you did for the sin ravaged heart. That even for the rock solid heart. The gospel of Jesus Christ was the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. Amen. Amen. Been entrusted to the church. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the scriptures sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the Spirit of God at work convincing and convicting men of their need of the Savior. Hey, church, we don't have the money that all the businesses do and that all the politicians do. We don't have the production value that Hollywood does. We don't have the harmony that Nashville does. And I'm going to tell you, that would be a problem if we were here to impress people. But we are not here to impress people. We are here to impact people for the cause of Jesus Christ. I think of the illustration from church history, how the Pope of the medieval time took Thomas Aquinas and showed him all of the treasures of the Catholic Church. And he said, look, Thomas Aquinas, he said, the church can no longer say, silver and gold have I none. To which Thomas Aquinas replied, yet, but neither can she say, arise and walk. Church, we're not here to impress. We are here to impact. And I'm going to tell you, there are a whole lot of people like the lame man who are seeking the wrong kind of change. They don't understand the deeper problem of their sin, the deeper problem of their separation from God. But church, let's quit apologizing and feeling inadequate for what we don't have, because what we do have is exactly what this world needs. Through dynamic resources. How do we make an impact in our world for the cause of Jesus Christ? Well, through our daily routine, through dynamic resources. Look at how this ends, verses 8 through 12. The Bible says, and he leaping, speaking of the lame man, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which held Peter and John and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Porch, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel. He said, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Peter goes on to preach a sermon that clearly presents to the people that it was not Peter and it was not John, but it was Jesus that had accomplished this in this man's life. It was Jesus. So how is it that we impact our world for the cause of Jesus Christ? Number one, say it with me, church, through what? Number two, through. Number three, through divine relationship. You know, you look at this passage, there's so many interactions to consider. The man had friends, didn't he? But the man's friends could only take him so far. Peter and John make quite the team. John the dreamer, Peter the doer. John the motivator, Peter the mouth. You could say John the compassionate, Peter the courageous. And John and Peter make quite a team. They find a complement, a counterpart to their differences. Not a competitor, by the way. Way biblically it needs to be done. But for the lame man, this answer isn't his companions. For the lame man, the answer isn't even the Christians. The answer here now, hear this. The answer wasn't even the church. You realize Acts chapter 2, the church was born. The end of Acts chapter 2, lots of cool things happening. But you know what Peter and John don't do? They don't say, hey, man, we'll call him Bob. Hey, Bob. Tell you what, why don't Peter and I carry you back to the church? We have an awesome church. Why don't we carry you back to the church? No, the answer wasn't even the church. The answer was that Peter and John simply introduced the lame man to the one who had made all the difference for them. The answer for the lame man, and the answer for every man, the answer for his legs, and the answer for our life is one Jesus Christ. To understand this morning that Jesus is the answer for sin. Jesus is the answer for guilt and shame. Jesus is the answer for distress and discouragement and despair. The answer is Jesus. The answer is not religion. It never has been. The answer is not church. The Harvest Baptist Temple can't do it. But Jesus can. So many people get hung up on religion and church. How many times have I heard somebody say, "Well, I had a bad experience at church one time. I'm the pastor and I have a bad experience at church a lot of times." Welcome to the club. There'd be a problem if my hope came from the church. But it doesn't. Because my hope comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Forgiveness comes from Jesus. My future comes from Jesus. The answer always has been and always will be a real relationship with Jesus Christ the righteous. And church, let me talk to you this morning, those of us who are here. There are those that are here this morning who are hurting. You feel helpless. You feel hopeless. You feel discouraged and in despair. You might be hurt this morning. You might be struggling. You might struggle with some sort of stronghold in your life. Can I tell you the answer is Jesus. Jesus. And it is a divine relationship with Him, a real, living, breathing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have it, if you don't know it, if it's not close and intimate in your life, hey, how can you cast your care upon Him if you don't walk with Him? How can His presence be your peace that passes all understanding? When we've turned away from Him. Jesus is the answer. And church, for us to realize in everything we do, whether it's what we do when we worship here, whether it's what we do when we outreach, whether it's what we buy at the store later today, whether it's what we do when we come back tonight, it's how we interact with people on the road, on the way home, it's what we post on social media. Hey, we are here to make an impact for Jesus Christ. And we only do that through His power. He reminds us, doesn't He, in John 15 and verse number 5 at the end, He said, "For without me, what we can do nothing." Here to impact, not to impress. We are here to impact, not to impress. We are here to impact, not to impress. Every day this lame man, this man who was lame from birth, was set outside of a beautiful gate. He could picture what the beautiful life must have been like. He could probably hear what it should sound like. But it had always been just out of reach for him. This story reminds us anything is that all of us need a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to have a truly beautiful life. If you're here this morning and you're without Christ, you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that if you died today you'd go to heaven, this morning I want you to hear and receive the love of God in Christ Jesus. How the Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Understand this morning that just like that lame man had a problem, you have a problem. It's called sin. And that sin separates you from God. The Bible teaches us that since you couldn't go to God, He came to you. The Bible teaches that because the wage of your sin is death, He died your death that you might receive His life. Would you hear and receive the love of God in Christ Jesus for you this morning? The Bible says that Jesus offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who will repent, turning to Him in faith. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And I would encourage you this morning, I would beg and plead with you this morning, if you're here and you don't know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. This life is so fragile. This life is so fleeting. If you don't know for sure this morning, when we stand for a time of invitation, would you catch my attention? Would you walk forward? Would you allow us the opportunity to have somebody take God's word and show you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home? To the church this morning, we're not packing up. We're not ready to go. Hey, this is where we have to let God impact our hearts so we can impact others. Church, let me ask, are we more concerned with impressing people or impacting people? Church, we don't lack opportunity to impact people for Christ. Every day, opportunity. I'm going to tell you, church ought to be a place where people, no matter their condition, can find help. That Christians ought to be a people who are known for their care and compassion. So how about it, church? Do I miss the multitudes who need to be, who desire to be impacted by Christ? Do I miss the magnitude of what God has given me to impact others with? Let me ask it this way. Have I stopped being broken for broken people? This morning, church, I ask us to do this. Could we ask God to open our eyes to the need? Could we ask God to give us boldness? Think about the boldness of Peter. He reached down, grabbed a lame man by the hand, and jerked him up. You get sued for doing that nowadays. Could we ask God for some boldness this morning? To impact people.